Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Open your hearts and loosen your butts, because it's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners. Woo! Coming
yes.
to you on a Thursday. Loving life.
Well, you're listening to this on a Tuesday.
But we are coming to you on a Thursday. You see what I'm saying? I'm letting them know the time travel element, where we're at when we're bringing them the
introduction. Yeah, if you want to figure out what's going on in the news to see how depressed we are, you can go back and look at whatever happened last Thursday.
Exactly.
From this. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, oh boy, they're going through it.
We're having it. But
wait till they get to Monday. They're really going to be in the dumps then. I'm also in the dumps. I gotta say this, Naomi.
I gotta say this.
I'm not a sentimental person, but there was like a chair of my grandmother's. This like velvet armchair that I think of fondly when I think of my grandmother. And after she passed away, we put it in our... my parents put it in their guest room.
Mm-hmm.
Our guest room, as if like I still live there.
Well, but it's okay.
So my sister and I were both in B'nai B'rith, youth organization, BBYO.
Okay, break it down.
And
you can just say some randos.
It was a Jewish youth group, and I don't know why I wanted to join it. It's not like I fit in. It was very much like, I don't know, just like people who are not into the same things I was into. And the only thing that linked us was the fact that we all had bar and bat mitzvahs, B'nai mitzvot. But some of the, like, they would have conventions and every quarter, and some, what are you laughing at?
Because you are giving us so much additional information that's not necessary. Like, literally, the amount of information you are explaining is so not necessary for the issue, the gist.
Now, Judaism was a religion that was started around 5,000 years ago.
Jewish youth organizations were started in an attempt.
Anyway, wait, they would have these every quarter in different cities, and one time, and then you would like have some of the kids sleep over with you. So they had some kids sleep over in our house.
Yeah,
and these little morons were like, "Oh, we're away from home," and they snuck like alcohol.
Yeah.
in their like little crappy like Kool-Aid or whatever, and then okay. accidentally spilled it on this chair.
Yep,
ruined the cushion.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents threw the cushion away. And then I always had this dream. Someday, I'm like, if I ever have the money,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to refurbish this chair.
Yep.
This chair I think so fondly of.
Yeah, get that fresh new cushion.
Yes. So my dad calls me today, and he's like, "Hey, there's this thing from your grandmother's house. These like disgusting lamps that you wanted when you were a kid. Do you still want them?" And I was not his words, but
no,
like,
I know I overheard some of it. The thing I don't understand is like, how old were you when you liked these lamps?
Oh, let's see here. She passed away when I was 12, so 12.
So it's like the fact that you even asking about you like these lamps that are ugly.
Uh huh.
When you were 12, do you want these? We've all agreed are ugly lamps. As a grown-ass man.
Yeah, if I had the same kind of... if I had the same kind of taste I had when I was a child, I'd be wearing Ocean Pacific t-shirts and these, like, god-awful cargo shorts with, like, 3,000 pockets.
Andy, you're too petite for a cargo short.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
you cannot pull off a cargo short.
I know they're not cool anymore, but I gotta wear my skinny jeans. I gotta have my gams looking skinny, Naomi, because I know you love skinny gams, and I'm like, I gotta look good for my wife.
I know you love skinny gams.
So he calls me, and I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think I would ever. I don't even know what we would do with them if we had them. Like,
yeah, of course.
And then I'm like, you know, the only thing I ever really wanted for grandma's apartment was that velvet chair. Long pause. Long pause. You know, if there's the long pause that you're about to hear something you don't want to hear.
Absolutely.
No one ever has a long pause and then is like, oh, great.
Right.
You know what? If you want, we can hire a mover and you can have it right out in your apartment in Los Angeles. It's never anything like that.
Nope.
It's always long pause. And then, I had someone haul that away on Monday. Literally. Oh. So like, didn't think to check with me, which is fine. I mean, I don't know why he might think to check with me, but I didn't think he was throwing it out.
But also, why would he check with you about ugly lamps? That's what I don't like. It's like, you check with me on some ugly lamps, but you wouldn't check with me on the chair that you kept for 30 years.
For decades.
Yeah, so you kept for 30 years. So, you know, it don't make it make sense. Make it make sense is kind of how I feel about it.
Like, that was the he's like, oh, you know, this chair, it's very, you know, someone could refurbish it if you want. I think he still thinks of me. My parents still think of me in general as if I was like 20. And don't have my shit together.
I didn't think I'd use if you fucking 14. What you ask? I can't get over this ugly lamp you liked when you were 11. That's not, I feel like they think of you as like a young, which is why they're, but it's funny though, because, you know, we talk a lot about how your parents will say that you, this is honestly Patreon material. This is what we kind of do with the page.
By the way.
So the fact that we're giving you, consider this a sneak peek. This is a taste of what the Patreon is, okay? The Patreon is us bringing the real, okay? Uh-huh. And talking about our personal journey. So if you do have any interest, you can go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod and get 2 episodes of this every month.
Yes.
But let me stay on task.
It also really helps support the show, but go on.
But it's funny because, you know, your parents often joke about you being weird, weird, weird. But then, like, when I, like, they're weird. And so it's just, like, so funny because it's like, y'all weird too. He got it from you. Like, you project it. You project it because you being weird. Because the monologue about how ugly these lamps were, that's what I heard from the other room. I heard they're so ugly we didn't want Naomi to see them.
Well, their whole thing is always, too, that, like, and I don't know why they do this, but they're like, that somehow, like, anything that you find out about me would scare you away.
Yes. But the idea,
because they have this vision of me as a 12-year-old or whatever.
But do you see the weirdness there? That it was like, these lamps are so ugly, we didn't even want Naomi to see them or else she might walk away. What are you talking about? That's weird. And so I've decided that when they call you weird, it is them projecting and it is their own anxiety about their issues.
Ooh.
That's what I decided. I said what I said.
Ooh, that's some real shit.
I said what I said.
That is some real shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bringing the therapy to couples therapy today.
Oh, by the way, folks, if you sent in artist portfolios, I made a call, a general call a couple weeks ago on the pod saying, like, we need some artists. This is a paid gig. My computer, so apparently, Naomi, did you know this? Then on an Apple MacBook laptop, I think most of their laptops.
I was going to say.
The lithium ion battery can just sometimes start swelling and eventually maybe explode.
That sounds right for Apple. That's insane and yet also not surprising. Mm. All the different ways these things can fail and swelling battery, especially when, you know, I'll tell you this, Andy and I both have cooling laptop stands. They have fans in them. To keep your laptop fresh and cool on a hot day.
$18 online.
Get that online.
So, and they're for gamers, not for people who spend most of their day typing.
So they're ready. They're ready for some high quality, you know, people who are just bros really gaming.
But yeah, so my computer is in the shop having the battery replaced. So I will get to that. I just want people to know that I want them to know that I've acknowledged that they've sent these in. I just haven't had a chance to. You know.
So now Andy and I are partially sharing a laptop like an elderly couple. You can reach us at andyandnaomi@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
The way, yes. Like 70-year-olds who are married have one email address.
Oh, one other note, but while we're doing this stuff, We saw that the inventory for the Couples Therapy Quarantine Crew t-shirts was very low, so we thought, why not discount them?
Yes, give it a little discount. You can get Couples Therapy Quarantine Crew shirts for $15, honey. That's $10 off. Now that's what I call a deal.
So we're losing money on these.
So go to the link in the notes of the show. Go to any of the links on the link trees in our bios, that kind of stuff, if you want to get them. Or any other t-shirts.
And if you are in the LA area 2 days from now, Thursday, July 30th at 8:30 p.m., I'm doing my own show at Largo. It's my first show at Largo. Would love the support. Would love the friendship. I've put together a lineup of all the comics I want to see. If I had to attend a show and had to be there the whole time, who do I want to watch? And this is what I've done, okay? So we got Nori Reed, Sydney Washington, Amy Miller, some special guests that only Largo could bring us, okay, as well. So you can get tickets at the door. You can get tickets online at largo-la.com.
You know what? I'll put in the show notes.
Put in the show notes.
Check the show notes.
So we got a lot of the show notes. And quite honestly, I got to tell you about our guest, okay? Oh, because, I mean, we've given them a lot just now.
Old friend of ours.
Old friend of ours. Our guest is the hilarious, the lovely John Flynn, okay? Actor, writer, comedian. He is co-host of the podcast Two Old Queens and recently wrote a book called Baked, Sex, Drugs, and Alternative Comedy. Mm-hmm. It is a memoir about his time dealing drugs. That's just it.
John's great.
He's like
won a lot more to say about it.
He's won the Moth Story Slam. Like, he's a writer. He can tell you a real good story, and he is so fun, and we had a great time talking to him. So yeah. You know what? Roll it.
We're here for, of course, to talk about the feud between Juliana Margulies and Archie Panjabi from The Good Wife, and how that could be a season of the FX hit show Feud.
By Ryan Murphy.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Season 17 of Feud.
That would actually be really good, because I bet they get Priyanka Chopra to play Archie Punjabi. Uh-huh. And then to play Juliana Margulies, I feel like it would be...
You know what?
Who?
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
That's a good one. Does Juliana Margulies have a daughter? Wouldn't it be great if in like 20 years, those two women's daughters played each other's
mother? Would be. You know what? We need more of that. You know what the bravest thing...
We need more nepotism in Hollywood.
Yes. The bravest thing you can do as an actor in Hollywood is not star in a vehicle with your child. That's the bravest thing. And yes. I think we should have awards. We should have awards.
Yes.
For that.
Yeah. Those poor actors whose parents have paved the way and opened every door for them.
Do you know, I didn't know that Mariska Hargitay was the daughter of, and I didn't know that Jamie Lee, or maybe I knew about Jamie Lee and Janet Lee, but I don't think I knew, because I saw some post, you know, for Mother's Day.
Right.
And I was
of nepotism babies.
Yeah, of nepotism babies. That should be the new show instead of Muppet Babies. Nepotism babies.
Oh my God, that's perfect. I think with like Jamie Lee Curtis, though, it's like, well, it's not like she did that one thing. Like, she's done a bunch of stuff, and you're like, okay, maybe her mom being her mom got her in the door, but she probably would have gotten in the room eventually anyway.
No, and that's the thing.
You don't think so? Oh, okay.
Honey, we in a town full of people trying to get in the damn room. You know, getting in the room Jamie eventually is not an option.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
A lot of people eventually. Everyone eventually got into the room, right?
Everyone gets it. Hold on. If you have, if you have the capital, if you can have the energy, right? The energy to do a day job and also put all your energy into something at night. If you've got that Kevin Hart, Kanye energy, right?
Right.
Then maybe you can eventually make it into the room. Okay. Right?
Once you hit your mid-30s, when the energy level goes down, it's like, if you haven't gotten in the room at this point.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard unless, you know, somebody has to open the door for you and then leave a trail of crackers for you to come in the door.
Yeah.
In your 30s.
I've written a role so specifically for this person, literally no one else can play it.
Exactly. Right. If you can crush up enough Wellbutrin and mix it in with your Coke, then...
I'll get there.
There you go.
Is that a new thing? Like cocaine that is
lace
instead of
what does Wellbutrin give you again? What's that for?
It's an up. It's like an antidepressant.
Oh, an antidepressant.
But it gives you a little, it gives you some energy.
Instead of cutting it like with two baby cocaines. Powder.
Exactly, two cocaines.
It's like putting Coca-Cola in coffee, which they've done.
Ew. Who's that?
It sounds disgusting. You can see it. You can... Anytime our capitalist CVS, masters. I see it's available. That pharmaceutical place is just mixing everything together.
Now, John Flynn.
Wait, John, have you ever done coke? Because I've never done it. And so,
I've done cocaine, I would say, under 10 times in my life.
Under 10. All right.
Under 10. And every single time, yes, I can't stop talking and get very red in the face. But also something that I feel is unique is that I can't stop eating. Which is not what you typically hear about cocaine. And it's also one of those things where I was like, I don't think I need this drug because, first of all, it is very expensive and I don't have the money. Yeah. But could you imagine if I like blew up and suddenly people were like, oh, John put on a lot of weight. What happened? And other people were like, he started doing a lot of cocaine. And I'm like, this makes no sense. Nothing about this story makes sense. I'm no longer friends with you. Like that.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny.
I realized, John, I know nothing about your relationship history before Brian.
Oh, well, there wasn't all that much to know, honestly. Really?
Like, I thought you were going to be like, I just realized I know nothing about you.
That's not true, because I know you from your stories. Before we became friends, I knew you from your stories.
Right.
Yes.
One of the best damn storytellers out there.
We met at that theater, which I believe you like to refer to as Redacted.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which a Redacted comedy theater.
I will play the game. Yeah. Yeah, so we all met sort of in that world, in that circle and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yep.
So I mostly did like storytelling more stuff. So yeah.
Right. Yes.
But before I met my husband, I would say I only had like two real like relationships that lasted for a long time, like in my 20s and stuff. And like, so there wasn't a whole lot of like relationship history for you to know. So there wasn't anything for you to follow up on. So don't worry about it. I'm not going to accuse you of homophobia because you didn't know my dating pattern.
Hey, why would you?
That is homophobia.
I'm just saying, if you were worried that was going to happen, you can rest assured.
Hold on. Before you said that, I was never worried that was going to happen. Uh-huh.
And now,
so now you're retroactively worried?
Hold on.
Now you're wondering what you should be worried about that you're not worried about right now.
I've said that to all of our guests. I know nothing about your relationship history, regardless.
Okay, gotcha. Here's my question, though.
I feel like I'm being attacked. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh. Poor straight white guy feels uncomfortable.
He's being attacked. We got to get you back on Scruff. But here's my question, though. Did you do a lot of hooking up?
Oh, I did a ton of hooking up. Okay, I feel like I did that in the golden era of like Craigslist. Like before people were getting murdered, before it was like super, I mean, like it was always a little weird.
Yeah.
But like at the beginning of just like, oh, wait, we can do this. Okay, let's try it. Like, but it was also in the early days of all that too, where it was like before it I feel like now with apps and stuff, you can get so specific about what you want.
Mm-hmm.
In like a hookup partner. Like you can be very much like, these are the activities, this is what I want. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's so like hyper specific and focused now.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like post like
apps.
On like, exactly. Like, but I would just be like on Craigslist of like, who's nearby-ish, who can host, okay, great, let's do it. You know? But yeah, that was sort of like, I was a pretty slutty in the early 20s. I mean, in my 20s and stuff in New York City.
In the early 1920s.
In the early 1920s, I really slutted it up. I mean, the
John
stock market hadn't crashed. We didn't know.
But given that, you know, you hadn't had a lot of relationships, a question I always ask people is like, how did you then know that your now husband was the person to marry? You know, because I asked that as somebody who didn't have a lot of boyfriends before Andy, where I was like, it took me a while to like learn what a relationship was supposed to be and what was normal in terms of, oh, this is what it is to be loved and this is what it is to like not have to chase a person, you know?
Gotcha. I think for me, with my husband in particular, I think part of it was, and I'm sure this is true of you too, of like in my 20s, a lot of times people would be like, oh, you have like, I didn't seriously date anyone for years. And I felt like, and people would occasionally like, oh, don't you want to date someone? And I felt like I could date someone if I wanted to. Like, I think if you want to date someone, you can. You might have to lower your standards a whole lot. But I think you can if you want to. But I felt, I don't know if it's stupid or confident enough to just be like, no one who I did go on dates on who was a potential felt was like someone who I wanted to date. Like I was like, oh, I like, you know, like I like this person to whatever degree. I like them as like a human being, but I know I'm not attracted to them. I know I don't want to build that kind of relationship with them. So it wasn't, but I felt like I could have if I wanted to, like if seriously, like, because I definitely have some friends who like need to be in a relationship, mm-hmm. and like can't be alone. And that never bothered me. It's never something that I felt bad about myself about. And then with Brian, we met when he was in a very like sort of tough emotional situation. And so he was very like sort of upfront and honest about it. And I think, so it was this sense of like his father was very sick. His father was. And so there was a sense of right away when it started was like, hey, if you want to get on board, this is what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And I think I knew I liked him, that it was sort of easy to make that choice. But there was a way in which like you kind of had to make the choice a little bit with more stakes right away. Yeah. But I don't know. Like there was something about him that I knew I liked him. And so I was willing to take that risk.
Right.
He's also cute. That helps.
He is very cute. Yes. And
he's very cute and likes to cook. So
he loves. He's an incredible cook. I'm a terrible cook.
Wait, is Brian from out here?
He is from the Bay Area. Yes.
Okay. So I have a question. Is he more emotionally open? Was that all? This is my thing. I say all us East Coasters are emotionally closed off.
I don't know. I'm from the East Coast. I don't think that I'm emotionally closed off, but maybe I am. He was also like going through therapy. Like he was seeing a therapist regularly at the time. So I think that probably helped with the like, here's the like more emotionally mature thing, way to handle this situation and stuff like that.
Right.
But were you always that way? Because I don't know. Because I think it's like, you're a cool customer, John Flynn. Okay. We can't pin you down. The only way you see John Flynn in this life is you go to his house. And yes, you will have some carnitas french fries. And that's very much worth it. But you ain't getting John Flynn out. Okay?
Is that true?
Look, before times? Who knows now?
Sure. Before times. Like, these days, yeah. Who knows? I'm starting to go out. I'm going to do stuff.
In decade six of the novel coronavirus.
There's another spike coming, guys. We got to be safe.
I know.
That's what they said on Buffy season four.
I'm learning to live between the spikes. I'm like learning the rhythm of the cocoa, you know? To be like, okay, this is a downswing. This is when I should do stuff.
That feels like your new like self-help brand, like Living Between the Spikes with Naomi and Kerrigan.
Oh, for sure. You have to start that now. You have you to retire become a off guru. Of
that. I would be a really good. Sometimes I wish I could start great. A cult, but the thing is, I don't like responsibility. You know what I mean?
But that's like, what Andy's for. Like, he just, like, comes to you and just, like, we just need to make these few video promos. You just do this one little speech, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, other people come to you and be like, just say this copy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're the guru, and then I interpret the things you say.
Okay.
To get people to give us their money.
Yeah.
You're Sheila. Remember from Wild Wild Country? Did anyone see that?
Oh, yes. She's got the poison, and you've got the poison in your sleeve when you go to the buffet.
Exactly.
So no one can vote the next day.
Yes. You're the Del Close. I'm the Sharna Halpern.
Ew.
I thought that was redacted.
Thank you.
That's pre-redacted.
Okay.
But no, I mean, obviously I'm teasing, but like, it felt like you got, like you were the version of you I knew in LA, right? Because like in New York, we're all out and about because like we always had to be out of the house at all times. Like,
yes, the way New York works. Barely enough room for ourselves in our own houses. Yeah.
But in LA, I think of you as more like a domestic person. Like I think of you know, like a very like a coupled up domestic. That's why I was surprised to think that you didn't have a lot of relationships because it felt like you guys were just, I was like, oh, y'all stay, like John's used to being booed up.
No, I think part of it is just the difference between LA and New York. But yeah, I think it's real easy to keep me home. I'll say that. It's not tough to be like, why don't we stay in tonight?
Well then.
Okay. Like that's real easy. You're right.
Yeah, I get
but
it.
But I don't know if that also could just be a symbol of my age too.
Right, as we get older. But also, I don't know. I think it's like, I think you're right more so with LA. Like, it is a more like a chill in the house kind of place.
I'm done. Okay. No more LA versus New York.
Okay.
All right.
Cutting this.
Cut it off.
Cutting the cord and dropping it down a well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Really bossy.
No, because I'm either gonna have to cut it out of this episode because I'm like, I'm sick of this New York LA shit. Let's just say for the record.
What's the deal LA with sucks. Pizza in LA? No.
LA across the board sucks. Okay, New York is now, the best city in these United States.
You said you were throwing it down a well.
John.
It's the echo coming up from the well as he's throwing it down.
Thank you. John, so wait, you had two long-term relationships, but are you dating anyone while you're doing these like Craigslist hookups at all? Or is it
not
just like...
Not really. I dated a guy right out of college for 1 year. He was my tap teacher.
Checks out.
And when we started dating, he was in the closet.
Oh,
and I was like, You run a tap studio and a regional theater. And he was like, no one knows I'm gay. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they know you're gay. And he was like, if people found out I were gay, they would stop coming to my classes and doing my shows. I was like, I don't think homophobia is a problem for people taking tap classes in general. Anyway, so we dated for about a year. Then I moved to the city. And there's like one or two guys I sort of dated for a couple months. But in both cases, nothing bad happened. Like I think I'm pretty like low drama and low maintenance. So like it was mostly just sort of like, I guess we're done with this. Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, I'll see. Like, and I like, there's no one who I've dated who like, if I see them, I'm like, oh, that bitch is here. Oh, it's gonna go down. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing. It's always like, oh, cool. That person. You know what I mean? Like, I have at least fine relationships with everyone I've dated.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, not a whole lot. But for me, it was always something that I was like, I didn't have someone that I really wanted to date.
Uh-huh.
And I felt, again, whether it was just stupidity, ego, or just like it somehow enough self-confidence to be like, it's okay that I'm not dating someone right now. And the options that I have aren't ones that I'm excited about. So it's fine to just be alone for a while.
That sounds like confidence. I don't think it's stupidity or ego. That sounds really good to be like, I'm not settling and I'm not thirsty. It's foreign to me. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. But have you guys been like serial monogamous, like from one relationship to another?
Not monogamous, but honey, I was chasing it. I said, who's going to love me? I was a love fool, like the Cranberry song.
Oh.
And it was just so, so sad.
Until
Andy met for me.
How about you, Andy?
Cereal?
I'm sure you guys have told your origin story a million times on your own podcast.
Serial monogamist. Mm-hmm. And then in grad school, just kind of a little bit of dating around. Uh-huh. And then... up to New York where I met this lovely lady.
But you have been single for a while before we got together.
Yeah, because grad school kind of like ripped my...
made you a little crazy?
Yeah, it was just like, it's tough to like have a relationship and also fight the department you're in to do the thing you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was your issue.
That was my
department.
Issue.
Right.
Yeah. I guess I could have just written like some bog standard bullshit about Aristotle and been fine. But
you
right.
didn't want to do that.
But that's not who you are.
Mr. Show.
Yeah, I'm an iconoclast. All right. I'm Bob Odenkirk of academia.
Wow.
But okay, wait. Now, John, though. So, you know, you're having your hookups, but, you know, you ain't in love with these hoes. You're doing your thing. And then was it sort of, and the tap teacher was like, Jersey, and then you moved to New York, and then
correct.
Did you get right into UCB stuff and the storytelling world? And would you say
no?
This sort of,
when I first moved to New York, I was a chorus boy. I was doing musical theater.
Really?
You didn't know
on
that?
Broadway?
I did a whole bunch of. No, I never made it to Broadway.
Broadway,
but I did a lot of productions of Chorus Line, Music Man, Gypsy at the Paper Mill Playhouse with Betty Buckley and Debbie Gibson.
Yes.
You're welcome. I did like musical theater stuff. That was my first thing gig for a while. And then that got boring and people were like, oh, you're very funny. You should do stuff. And that's when like the UCB started popping off. So then I was like, all right, let me try this. But I was also doing like one person shows and whatnot before then. So that's sort of like how I got to UCB.
Oh my God, you are a chorus boy? I am deceased.
I'll send you some pictures.
You have to, because I'm just like imagining you in outfits with your arms extended.
I will send you pictures.
Did you ever have like a glittery top hat?
Of course, Chorus Line. I did it 6 times. It's nothing but glittery top hats.
What was your favorite musical that you were in at that time?
That I was in? Chorus Line's a pretty good one to do. Especially, I mean, like, I was like, after my sixth production, I was like, I don't need to do this show anymore. But, you know, like, I've done several hundred performances of that show. But of a show you have to do a bunch of times, I'm like, this one's not the worst.
Is that the one that's like one singular sensation?
That's in Chorus Line. Yeah, you got da, it. Da, 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 da. Yeah, with the gold hats. Yep, that's the number of the gold
that's
hats.
That's with the hats. And that's what happened. And so really it was that you just hit a wall with musical theater. I guess I'm asking because, you know, you don't get into stuff like that and just let it go that easily. You know what I mean? Because it's right. Just like when you kind of pursue right. it and then you sort of make it in, it's like you just being like, I'm tired. You just really know your limits. It also seems like
relationships. Like you're like, thing. You're just like, yeah, we're good.
We've done it.
I guess part of it was just like the jobs I was getting offered, which I think happens to a lot of people. Like when you start in show business, you're like, maybe I'll be this, maybe I'll be this, maybe I'll be that. And you try these different things. And then there's that, oh, when I do stand up, people like it. So I'll focus more on that. Or when I write stuff, people like, you know what I mean? So that, mm-hmm. I think that was, that's kind of it for me.
Yeah. And then was your, you know, if dating wasn't really kind of where your head was at and you're, you know, I think of you as also a very prolific person, you know, like I just felt like you always had a lot of stuff you were... I mean, shit, you came out of pandemic with a book, okay? That is true, very, yeah. very impressive.
Prolific right. and pragmatic.
Wow.
Thank you. Okay. Love a P word. Love an alliteration.
Put that on the back of... Put that as a quote on the back of the second
Prolific
edition.
And pragmatic when I re-release it. All right, cool. Eddie Beckerman. But, the Bob Odenkirk of academia.
An iconoclast, Andy Beckerman.
Self-proclaimed iconoclast.
But would you, like, would you, was your friendship, were your friends sort of your social life? Were you like, this
yeah,
is where
definitely.
My energy
like,
goes?
I'm very much like a very social person. Like, I love being around other people. Like, mm-hmm. I find, I've realized definitely that's the thing about LA. Like, with New York, you're like kind of always around people. Like, it's so hard to feel like you're alone ever yeah. in New York. Whereas in LA, I found myself just being like depressed and sort of morose, and I've realized like, oh, you just need to be around people more. Mm-hmm. Like you have yep. to sort of make it happen more out here in LA. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously the pandemic was hard because there was like nowhere to right. go. Like it's the number of people who like now I'm starting to see again where it's like, oh wow, like I kind of used to see you all the time, but just because we were both coming and going from the same place, or you know, but yeah, like being around other people really do energize me. Being around right. other people definitely energize me.
Yeah.
And like, that's one thing. So not to just plug my book, but I wrote this book Baked, which is about the time I used to sell pot cookies in New York City, which was around the time when we all met. Although I don't think either of you ever had any of my cookies.
No, we didn't know about your cookie hustle until later.
I like, didn't know until after the fact.
No, I know about it.
Well, I
just,
didn't know.
I'm not I don't smoke pot or I don't
right.
do any. I don't do pot.
You don't do pot? Oh, really, Grandpa? Okay.
I didn't know about it, I think, until, like, I remember when we met up in L.A. where you were like, oh, yeah, I've been doing this, and I'm kind of tapering off of it. Like, when you were kind of wrapping
oh,
it up.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
So I didn't know in L.A. Yeah, I didn't know about that life.
I knew about but, it. I'm just not a reefer head.
Oh, no. But what I love, one of the things I loved about the job was I made delivery, so I would just spend all day, like, I would, you know, run into, like, 8 or 10 different people every day and have, like... Yeah. 5 to 10 minute conversations, and then go on with your day, and it was great.
Uh huh. Oh my god,
you were high maintenance.
I was about to say they
you
stole
were high
maintenance from you
before high maintenance
That's
existed.
They stole it from you. You were the first Postmate.
You I was
were
the first Postmate.
The first Postmate.
You were the original high maintenance. Oh my goodness, but
post maintenance.
Post. That sounds like it's after. Close. It's good for we're circling it. We'll find
we're
it.
Just, look, we're workshopping ideas. All right. Now, John, I gotta ask you: who were the Hot Harold teams when you were at when you started UCB? Who were the Hot Harold teams?
Everyone was talking Cowbot. Fire hot burn, forget it. You couldn't get a seat.
Einstein was Einstein treading
Ice
the
9000 is performances they gave. They were so good.
Okay, sick, both of you. Now, John, I know you taught storytelling, improv. Uh-huh. Obviously, I'm sure there are points like, was that just like, you know, a thing you do to make money? Or like, do you mm-hmm. actually enjoy teaching people how to do the thing that you do so well? And I say
I
to
do,
somebody
actually.
Who,
okay. I still teach. And... It has been very nice. It's been one of the nicest things in the pandemic to just be like, oh, I'm at least doing this thing, mm-hmm. you know. I do enjoy it. I definitely can run the risk, like if I'm teaching too many classes or not doing too many other things, then I can get sort of burnt out. But I do find it rewarding. It's fun to like hear people tell. I mean, I teach storytelling, so people just come and tell me stories, and I just tell them how to make them more interesting, I guess, is what I do. So that's not the worst job to have in the world.
Right.
But so like people tell me all kinds of crazy stuff, which is fun. But it is also nice to like when you see them go, like when you try, like as you're teaching stuff, to see that light bulb go off in front of people's, like over their head is so rewarding and fun and exciting to see someone be like when something really clicks for someone and they are excited, like it's so rewarding and great.
What's the ratio of dud stories to good stories that you hear from students?
They're mostly pretty good. Huh. Do you know what I found the toughest is I've done workshops in colleges, and that can be rough because they're college kids. They don't have any stories.
They don't do anything, really.
Like, I one time had to spend like 15 minutes like workshopping a story a guy told about how he farted in front of a hot girl.
Oh, no.
Like, that was his story. And I was like, okay, let's see how we can make this something. But, you know, like, hey, the check cleared, so I got to do it. But, like,
but you're not getting people it. She who sometimes real hot.
It's when it's like, but usually like older people like will be like, after my third divorce, I'm like, well, if you're starting a story with that, there's got to be some meat here.
Oh, that's so funny. I've done stand up workshops a couple times, and like I actually coaching someone with stand up. I've worked with a couple people like, you know, one on one where they're just kind of talking through the jokes, and I like that. Like, that's kind of like. You know, I don't want to go to an open mic. I'd rather just, like, talk to funny people and kind of figure it out.
That's, like, a pre-open mic. Yeah. No, that makes sense. But that's kind of what I do, too. Like, I don't find one-day workshops, I think, are tough. And I imagine with stand-up, too, if it's just, like, it's more just, like, tell me your material. Yeah. And then I'll respond to your material. As opposed to, like, let's talk about the relationship between the setup and the punchline.
Right,
like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, to not have, like, it's, like, there's, in a way, it's, like, it's kind of just basic. And then it's just, like, do thousands of examples of it. And that's how you learn rather than a textbook breaking it down and that, you know what I mean?
Right. Comedy so that makes sense to me. Is what I say as soon as I walk in the room. And then I have to wait until I hit the center stage to finish the sentence. Mm. You see what I'm saying? I go, comedy is.
You walk all the way
walk.
We all lean forward. What she's going to tell us, she's going to tell us.
And then I fart. And then everyone laughs. And I said, that's
and I
it.
Go, okay, great.
And then everyone starts screaming and applauding, and then you walk off.
People just said, throw more money at you, take out their phones, Venmo you more money.
One last question before we get into the questions that, you know, people have come to us with.
I also have one last question.
Okay, so two last
questions. Okay, two more
unless
questions.
Naomi one last question.
Well, you know, you do it.
No, you go.
No, because mine is a segue into the question.
Oh. I want those two relationships you were in.
Okay, yeah.
How long were they each?
I would say under 2 months.
Okay. Okay, so Brian's really like your...
He is definitely my longest relationship. I mean, yeah.
By a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but both of those were people I was working with. So I don't know if that has somehow affects the sort of math and just like getting to know... Like, I was friends with them... You know, and then it was like, okay, let's see if this goes somewhere else. But which I wouldn't count as part of the relationship part of it. Like, as far as like,
we are dating,
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But like, it still was like under 2 months, you know, more or less, I would say.
Were you done working with them when the relationship was over?
In one case, it was a show and the show ended. So it ended up being what is known as a showmance. Mm-hmm. Where once the show is over, so is the romance. Not in any bad way. It just sort of was like, oh, our lives are so different right now, and we don't seem to be making the time to prioritize each other. So I guess we're done. All right. Well, I'll see you at an audition. and then the other one was just it was like a temp job that I had, and it just sort of petered out. But it wasn't again anything bad or even like ugly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then one other question. Then my other question. What?
Okay.
Is the tap teacher out now?
He is. Yes.
Thank God. Okay.
And he came out because what had happened was early on, people kept coming up to me and being like, hey, are you two dating? And I was like, oh, no, I'm not even sure if he's gay. Then finally I was like, you have to come out or we have to break up because I'm not going to keep lying for you. Because I was like, I'm not in the closet. I'm not going to, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Thank God.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But now is the reason why I wanted to ask going into questions, you know, people come to us, we're going to answer them. Somebody who, you know, in your friendships, in your relationships, do you like
giving advice slash do you like hearing problems? And this kind of ties into, of course, again, as somebody who listens to people's stories,
yes,
which are usually the best or the worst of their lives, right? Like the stories are never just the day we were chilling.
Right.
So you're hearing, you're used to hearing people's, you know, are you into giving the two cents, being like, this is what you need to do?
Yes. What I think I tend to do, and this actually weirdly happened a lot as a drug dealer, because there's sort of, I was sort of like a bartender where like there were a lot of people who I would like, you know, making my deliveries and like maybe sit down and get coffee with them or hang out with them, whatever, who would just be like, I don't know what to do with my life. Like, I talk people through like, should they go to grad school? Should they leave the city? Should they stay in a relationship? What should, you know what I mean? There's something about like a bartender or like a drug dealer where it's sort of like, you know something, or like people just like to unburden or just like tell you, like sort of share something with you. And I do love it. What I, my approach is I try to hear what you want. Not like I, not that like I want to tell you what you want to hear so much as like the way you're telling me, the way the story sounds like you don't want to be in this relationship anymore.
Right.
Like try to like, cause also, cause it's, I mean, especially in that situation, it's like, I don't give a fuck what you do. Stay with them, break up with them. I don't care. But like, it's like, I think this is what you are saying, or this is what, this is what I'm getting from you.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That's good. That is
so
smart.
That's sort of like what my approach, I think, tends as consciously as possible is what I try to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is beautiful. This is what we're ready for. A conscious approach.
Let's do it.
When we come back from the break, first of all, I want to get some advice on my story. I got a boner at Pathmark.
Okay, great.
I want to know how to
work. I have actually a pamphlet I'll send you about just notes for that already.
I want to work that into like a real like half hour story.
Sure. Yeah.
But then we'll also answer some audience advice questions. So we'll be back after this.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, y'all. Let me talk to you for a minute about underwear. Yes, that's what I want to talk about. Now, I don't know about you, but my underwear drawer is the Wild West. I've got 12 different brands, 4 different fits. Half of it ain't comfortable. I don't even know where I got most of them. I open my underwear drawer in the morning and I'm like, what do we have here? And these are items I purchased for myself. How did I let it get so bad? How? Well, I'm telling you right now, I am getting myself together with the help of Me Undies. Now that I felt the buttery soft comfort of Me Undies, they're all I'm reaching for in the underwear drawer. I got the cheeky briefs. This is the one I bought. The cheeky briefs in a fun tartan plaid print. And I'm addicted. I'm addicted. They're made from sustainably sourced beechwood fiber and have a flexible, no-roll waistband that keeps them in place all day long. Thank you. Comfort and fashion. There are so many undies to choose from all-black classics to fun, expressive prints. Me Undies has a look for everyone, and they come in sizes ranging from extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. Thank you, Me Undies, for the range. Me Undies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug. It's breathable, it's stretchy, it's ideal for all day wear. And if you're listening to this right now and you're saying, okay, Naomi, I have enough underwear, well, guess what? Me Undies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And they even have an activewear collection called Move Me, which is the softest activewear on the market. So get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. With John Flynn here to help you handle your scandal, honey. John, people come to us. They're giving us DMs. They're giving us emails. Ooh. They're giving us voicemails.
Ooh.
Yes, and the voicemails are my favorite. The number is 323-524-7839. You got to keep it under 3 minutes, people.
You have
to. It's going to cut you off. It's going to cut you off.
Yeah.
You have to.
Nothing you can do.
Now, I've been, so I just kind of answer these like random. I'm like, oh, this one seems fun. This one seems fun. But also for today, we an audience member read us a little bit because we had answered their question months after they had sent it in. And I got to tell you, folks, the schedule, you know, we batch record a bunch of episodes.
We're backed up.
Welcome to Hollywood, baby.
We only we only do 2 to 3 per episode. So it's going like we can't answer them. This is more like, hey, maybe we can offer you some perspective on a problem at some point in your life. But I do want to try to get to, these are some that came to us late last year.
Oh, God.
Okay.
So I want to try.
You should have even said that.
Well.
Now I'm just like, well, they handle
it. So you want us
now
to look at these with like a 2021 lens is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. No, it's good. It's good.
All right. Let's do this one first.
Hi, y'all. This is, you can call me V for podcast purposes. So okay. I need your hot take on 3 different things. The first thing is I need help figuring out how to translate my East Coast way of life and like approach to life to the West Coast. I recently moved to North California for a wonderful job, and I'm having a really hard time fitting in with my nip it in the bud, confront, being rather impatient type way of life. And any advice to moving from the East Coast to the West Coast is much appreciated. The second thing is, I am 1.5 inches taller than my husband, but also a wider frame. So I'm fat, broad-shouldered. So even if I lose a bunch of weight, I'm still going to be, like, huge compared to my husband. And then add his Vietnamese family to the mix. And in pictures, I always feel like I look like the white giant that is about to eat this adorable Vietnamese family. And even in the most loving photos with my husband, my first thought is like, I look like I'm about to eat you. And I've noticed that Naomi and Andy might have either be the same height or have a slight height difference. And so I'm wondering how you embrace getting photos taken, even if your initial reaction is like, I like the patriarchy is winning. I'm so much bigger than my husband. And this is poorly worded. But yeah, so your hot take on how to deal with a height difference and how it is portrayed in pictures. And then the third really loaded thing is it doesn't look like kids are in the cards for my husband and me. And I really need to hear all the benefits of not having kids. I am trying to move forward, not doing so well. Like, was in total tears this morning when I heard yet another friend is pregnant. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I have added long distance into the mix. So, it's really not looking like that's happening for us. So I'm moving forward. I really need to understand and embrace, like, what are the benefits, especially as we figure out if we're going to foster or adopt or approach it some other way. But I appreciate any of your hot takes on both my stuff and other people's. So take care. Bye.
All right.
Thank you, V.
V came to us with a lot. She came with 3 questions in what?
3 questions in under 3 minutes.
That's good. That's East Coast.
That'd be less than time. That's East Coast right there.
That's East Coast efficiency.
Yeah.
Well, John, yeah, you talk about how you have, quote, you know, brought your East Coast flavor to the West Coast. You've lived here. You were here before us.
Yeah. I mean, it's all the dumb cliches that you've heard is that, like, in the East Coast, like, yeah, I'm a New Jersey guy. We're all East Coasters. We all spent a lot of time in New York where it's just like, what is it? Let's go. And then you come out here and everything takes time and everyone's much slower and everyone's dumber and there's avocado on everything. And it's just that. I don't know what to say. It's like, get into weed, I guess, because it's just like there's an adrenaline and a caffeine in the East Coast that they don't have on the West Coast. So you got to kind of that once you more get to that level, the happier you'll be, I guess. Mm-hmm, like you can't expect the West Coast to get to speed up. It's not gonna.
Right. Well, and but also too. Think? Well, I would also say too. I mean, just like with any city, because you know, V is saying she's living on. She said Northern, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I don't. Is it San Francisco or is it like a tiny town? You know, like a different vibe.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing Stockton.
Stockton.
There's a little bit of that accent. Yeah.
Santa Cruz. something.
Well, she's
like,
moving. It sounds like she just moved, probably for work across country. So it's probably not like a podunk town.
Right. Well, okay, but this is what I'm saying. It's like, you know, but what I'm saying is sort of like there. You're not the only person who has moved, right? Like people are going back and forth all the time. So it's like, you know, finding the people who, you know, who have been here already, but who understand kind of where you're coming from when you say in terms of connecting with people at work, that'll be like a good start. And it'll also be people who are like, okay, I remember where you were in terms of being new. Here's the places you should go. Here are the things you should
do. Right. Here are the things you don't know you need, but get
them. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. That's smart.
And then I think it's also, as you're saying, yes, slow it down, but it's just like, yeah, think of it as opposed to how do I recreate what I had at home? Mm-hmm. Consider this as just a whole new thing. Almost like
reset.
When you study, reset. It's a reset, or it's like when you study abroad, when you go, this is not my culture, I'm turning it over, right? And this is not really foreign, but I think you need to take kind of that same approach. When you go to a place where you are totally, where you're like, I don't speak the language, I don't know what's happening. Honey, I'm just here and I'm going to see you.
They have dinner at 10 o'clock at night. That's just when they do it.
Exactly. take that kind
There's
of
There's a two-hour nap every afternoon. Just take it.
Just take it, honey.
God, I would love to live in Spain.
I know. He's meant for Spain. Andy's meant for dinner at 10.
Interesting.
And sleeping in the middle of the day.
And a siesta. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to almost have that approach to it so that you let things in and don't try to be as... what we are like, which is judgmental and constantly comparing the two.
Yeah, what if you repressed it all and then were just angry all the time?
That would help. Yeah,
and just
be
like
really
walked
helpful.
Around grumbling like you.
That would definitely be very East Coasty of you.
Yeah. Like you drop a pen accidentally and get so angry you punch a hole in the wall. Like just
at work.
That's
at
a good
work.
Way to cope. Yeah.
I think that's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
I guess this is the thing, which is like, you do have to change. There's no other way around it, which is what I found. Where it's like, at some point you'll get sick of like, I got sick of like hanging out with my friends and just complaining about shit while they were just I'm fine with where we are.
I understand. It's like, sure, you may be right, but that doesn't change the fact that you've chosen to live here. So it's like...
Yeah, well, that also might be a case for V. V might still be... Because it does sound like they're still new in their place. Like, they don't have enough other things in your life. Like, what happens is, like, you get here and all you have really is to think about what's different.
Right.
And it's not like, oh, I have a job or these other things are going on, so I can complain about those things instead of... This isn't
different.
The subway. This pizza's garbage. You know,
that's part of what it is too.
It's like, but I think your advice, Naomi, is really smart. Of like, think of it as a whole new world, and so you're not going to recreate what you've got.
Yeah,
and just sort of engage with this culture as on its own terms, and
yes.
it will feel less frustrating.
Right,
you got a Princess Jasmine in.
Don't you dare close your eyes. That's what Aladdin says when they're on the. When they're on the rug, he's like, don't you dare close your eyes. It's like, Jesus Christ, Aladdin. Anyway.
Is he that angry? I haven't seen that since I was a child. Is he like...
It's an intense talk moment in the middle of the song.
He's sort of mansplaining it to her. Like, here's how you need to experience this magic carpet ride. Uh-huh. Don't close your eyes.
Don't close your fucking eyes!
And you're like, okay.
Like, oh, maybe I will hook up with Jafar.
Okay, like, you are a street urchin, okay? It's like, stop telling me what to do.
Make me jump on a rug in the middle of the air.
In the middle of the night!
Right?
I got on a rug with a street urchin in the middle of the night? That usually doesn't end well.
There was no buckle.
No buckle. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So
okay.
part two for V's.
Part two was I'm taller and wider.
1.5 inches tall.
But wider, she also said. And again, I relate to this because I am I'm a double wide. And somehow my weight gain has led me to become a wider person, which I think is like rude because the bones are the bones. So shouldn't the body still only be the same width?
It's
because
like
the bones are the bones.
The bones are the bones.
I guess it depends on which corridor you wait. Like, do you gain weight in front, back, or side to side?
I'm gaining it side to side.
David Boreanaz.
So, like, your profile hasn't changed at all.
Maybe. But everything has gotten just wider. And
right,
I just am like,
on.
So, huh. You know, and I'm definitely, you know, so I'm larger than Andy. But when you say you feel like you're eating him and his family in photographs, I don't relate to that sentiment. I don't know.
She said she's 1.5 inches taller.
Right.
I was wondering,
which is like nothing.
What if he experiments with like lifts, or like what if he approaches it like, because like she's right, like she can't get smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So what if we make him bigger? Like, what if we think of him as a drag king where it's just like, because like with drag queens, it's like you get bigger shoes and you get bigger hair.
Uh-huh.
So if he gets like some platforms and a decent wig, they're at least like matching. You know what I mean? Like, she's not over him.
Right.
What if he also bulks up, like does a lot of protein powders, lifts every day?
That I think that's good for like width, but like that's not going to give you height.
Well, I'm saying combine both things.
Yeah. Both those things. Definitely.
Okay, how about if no
hip
one
pads?
Changes?
What did you say? I said hip pads. Like I'm going like full drag for her husband.
Yeah. What if he gets a BBL?
What's that?
Brazilian butt lift.
That'll put some pep. You'll definitely walk taller after you get one of those.
Yeah.
I think the answer to both these questions so far is acceptance.
Acceptance is the answer.
Because, like, Naomi and I, like, Naomi's taller in photos than me. She's taller than me, period, in real life. And I don't know. I don't care. Like, it doesn't.
Right.
Was there a time for you guys where you cared or it seemed weird?
The issue was for me feeling because, and I think where V is, because I feel like I am fat, I am big. Right?
Gotcha. Right.
I don't like, I'm like, this just accentuates the fact that I'm
your husband doesn't make you be like, but I'm so tiny. Right, gotcha.
Exactly. Okay. I'm just brooding, like just a hulking, oh God. You know, it's like we're like donkey and dragon on Trick. And so it's like.
Huh, okay.
So I get that feeling, but I think it's like, it is, look. You love him, he loves you. It's not like you just grew an inch and a half in the last year, right? So
it's always been there.
Yeah, so it's always been there. So I think it is a question of like you needing to accept it. I think in photographs, you know you need to be sitting down, sis. If that's how you're feeling when you're like in a big family photo, I mean. Like with him, it's like, you guys are who you are.
Or kneeling in front.
Yeah, like if you're in like a family photo where you
or
do
or bring some
like
apple boxes for your husband.
Half apples for the family, full apple for the husband.
And you're just on the floor. Perfect.
And you're just on the floor. I think, you know, if you're
really... just doing a split in front of all of them. All of our family pictures from here on out is this woman doing a full split.
I think if that's, you know, because the question is like, is any...
Yeah, take gymnastics classes.
Yoga
to do a full split.
Is the answer.
Because my thing is like, this is something you're worried about. Is anyone commenting on this stuff? You know, when you say
it's just in your head.
That I'm wondering, not that it's in your head again, because I know that feeling. I mean, I am larger than Andrew. That's not like a perception. That's a fact. However, no one has a problem with that, right? Except for me when I'm feeling particularly chubby. Do you know what I mean? So that's the question of like, does his family say stuff like, oh, you're so big? Or is it just that you
feel
like...
Is the giant coming to Thanksgiving this year?
Exactly, right. Is the white giant coming? Like, no, if they don't do that, you know what I mean? And this is like something that you are feeling.
It's just an insecurity,
about.
Ultimately.
By the way, if they
which
do
is like
do
something
that,
to deal with, but it's no more than really a family.
Yeah,
exactly.
If they do that, shove them down a well.
You are obsessed with throwing things down wells today.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Oh, well, I don't like to tell people this, but I was baby Jessica.
You were. I, for years, I'm like, Andy looks so familiar to me. I don't know what it is. But I always feel sad.
But
like somehow oddly relieved whenever he walks out of anything. Like when you would walk out of a place, I'd be like, I don't know what felt good to me.
Imagine what I'm feeling.
Exactly. Wow.
So, V, you need to just love and accept yourself. You can always take a knee in the group photo. And then put him in some lifts if you want to have a Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes wedding photo.
Yeah. What was part three?
Because
part three was not having kids.
Oh.
Now.
Accept it. Again, I think acceptance is the answer.
Well, no, but I do understand needing to be reminded. John, you aren't having kids, right?
We're not having kids. I'm so happy, so fine with not having kids. I've been very lucky that I am an uncle. And so any part of that has sort of like gotten out of me.
Me too.
I am so glad that I don't have to worry about what schools are in my neighborhood or any of that kind of stuff. I don't have to worry about other kids' parents or other kids. I think, I mean, I've never felt a strong like desire to have kids, but I just think like life is so much easier. It's so much less complicated. You can do so many more things. You can vacation so many different more places. You don't have, there's so few less complications in your life without kids. And I think it's so nice. And you can fill it with other things, wonderful things. I don't hate kids or think there's anything wrong with them. And I understand like the sadness and going like, oh, I'm not going to be able to have kids. But there's so many other wonderful things you get to fill your life with.
Right.
So it's sad, of course, but it is not in any way like there's still so much great, wonderful things to do and
I know.
Be and do with your life.
No temper tantrums. No terrible twos.
Oh, my God.
No teenagers, you know, talking back.
No, how am I going to pay for this child to be educated? No, oh, we've run out of fresh water in the world. How will my child survive? Do you want to really have an on-the-road situation?
No, waking
with your
up
children.
Not sleeping at night because your kids are out and they're teenagers and who knows what kind of nonsense they might be
exactly.
doing.
Exactly.
When you say on the road, you mean, of course, him hanging out with his beatnik pals, right?
I'm thinking of maybe the wrong movie. What's that movie with Viggo Mortensen and a kid? The Road.
The Road.
Not The Road situation.
Not Jack Kerouac.
Not Kerouac. You could worry about that.
They're not going to turn into bee poets. They're not going to have, like, you won't have to, like, think of all, like, the, like, you don't have to go to any, like, bat, like, sports games or, like, plays, like, school plays. You don't have to, like, just like you don't have to worry about pets if you don't want pets, or you can have pets. They're great. We
have pets. I'm like,
there are things you can have.
Yeah, and you also talk about like, you know, fostering, adopting. Those are both things that are so, you know, useful. You are really truly saving a person's life should you guys go down that road. So not only are you doing something for someone in need, but that now makes you better than every single friend who birthed a child.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like,
hold that over their fucking head.
No one's impressed.
No one is impressed. Yeah, we could have all,
you
know, just
kids.
Like, it's like you could have found a way to just squish one out.
But we're all here because other people had sex. Not impressed me much. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Shania style.
That is Shania style.
Honey. But you, if you make that choice to take what, you know, fostering or adopting, there's a kindness there and you can just truly just, you know, any person's like, oh, well, when we adopted our daughter, taking her out of the system, she hugged me so tight, I had never felt such love. You know, you can just like bring that into dinner parties.
Yes.
You can bring that into just casual conversation.
In the same way, parents with kids lord that over us.
Correct.
You can lord that over them, and then you're the top of the pyramid.
And that's all people really want, right? In their relationships, to be the top of the pyramid in their relationships.
But I mean, like, obviously we're kidding about all this stuff, except for the fact that, like, it is a true kindness. So that is the route you go,
right?
I would say,
like, overall for V, all of these things, like, the larger takeaway is that it sounds like you think you need to fit in certain boxes, and you don't. And what's great is you get this opportunity to decide what you want and to decide like, oh, this is what my life is going to be. This is what my relationship's going to be. This is what, I think if you can look at it that way, then you'll see how many wonderful, fun, exciting things you still have ahead of you. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
I felt like I lost my way a little
bit. That did. No, that was very true. No, it's true. It is an issue of like, there are these things that I don't like. How do I fix them? And some of it is like, none of it needs fixing.
Yeah. Stop looking at it as a problem and more of an opportunity. Boom.
Exactly. Okay, let's get another one in.
Do you have time for one quick one?
I sure do.
All right, here we go.
Hi. So this isn't a relationship advice question. Here it is. I don't believe in free will, But I do get mad at people when I think that they've wronged me, and I also feel like they should be held accountable. How do I reconcile these two beliefs? Okay, anyways, thank you. I love the show. Bye.
Wait, what?
Don't believe in free will. But they do get mad at people when they believe they've been wronged and believe they should be punished.
Okay, so the not believing in free will, that means that, like, everything is predestined?
Yeah, yeah, predestination, Calvinism.
But no, that's not, I get what that means, but my point being, so that means because they don't believe in free will.
Yes.
That means that when someone wrongs her, by that token,
yes,
they haven't done something to hurt them by choice.
Right. Right.
Gotcha.
The universe has made them do it in some sense in that belief.
And so it wasn't them actively.
So like if someone cuts her off in traffic.
Yeah.
That person didn't mean to do it. The universe needed them to do that.
Yeah.
That the fated them to do that. So she is frustrated that she got cut off in traffic, but she shouldn't be mad at that driver because that driver had no free will.
According to their beliefs, I would say my advice is, you're wrong about free will. Just objectively, people have free will. There are boundaries. As a former philosophy professor, I can tell you this: there are certain boundaries to your behavior.
Yes,
right. But within those boundaries, you certainly have as much free will as possible, and you certainly have a ton of mental free will.
Sure.
So you're wrong, and and you should be as angry as petty as possible.
Okay.
Well, I also think it's worth pointing out that even if she's right, the fact that she's angry, like, your anger is just an emotion. Like, it doesn't affect. So it's not like, well, I can't be angry because it's not the person's fault. Like, you can still be angry that that's the person's fault, and you're kind of, like, not right for being angry, but you still feel angry.
But also, if you don't believe in free will, then your anger is just part of this mechanism of the universe.
You can't help it either. Yeah, yeah. You're a victim as well of your anger.
Yeah, so you might as well, okay, if you're not going to, like, buy into the logic of the fact that there is free will, then you might as well, like, dive into your own beliefs and just be okay with it then, right?
And then believe no one needs to be punished. Well, because the need to be punished is a result of you being angry and feeling like you've been wronged. And so you just kind of can't have both beliefs at the same time. And that's why they're asking, how do we reconcile? And I'm like, I don't think they do reconcile.
You can't reconcile the thoughts, but you're predetermined to have those thoughts anyway. So, and you're not actually punishing them.
You just want them to be punished.
You just want them to, unless you go out and punish them, in which case your emotions. Beliefs.
But maybe you're John Wick. Maybe the universe needed you to get angry enough to go out and murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's why this happened. Choice but to murder. Yeah.
The not having free will thing is really sketchy. I think it backs you into a lot of weird corners with arguments.
Yes. Yeah. That's why Calvinists don't make much sense to me. Because their whole thing is that, like,
what's a Calvinist
God,
again specifically? Like, the minute I've heard.
The minute you were plopped out on Earth, God already knows if you're going to be saved or not. So it doesn't matter what you do, because God has already predetermined whether you're saved or not, because God's omniscient. That's the argument.
Oh,
so,
okay, gotcha.
Do whatever you want, basically, and you will be saved or you won't be saved.
But then that means you do have free will. Calvinist sounds like it's pretty free, do whatever you want.
That's because God already knows, because God's created the universe and God's omniscient and omnipotent.
Yes.
So God already knows whether you're
going
to be saved.
Knowing what choices you're going to make the same as not having free will to make choices?
Right, like, he knows, but you're going to do stuff, but you don't know what he knows.
Yeah, like, God is somehow...
I'm not Ariana Grande.
Sorry, V. God knows what choices you're going to make, but doesn't that mean at one point you made them?
Yes, but...
this is why I hate philosophy.
See, we're backing into. But
I know
this is why I think all this stuff is bullshit. Honestly, free will stuff is bullshit.
Gotcha.
All right, because there are. It's more about, like, how your choices are constrained. You can do whatever you want to do, basically, but your choices are. You're like, because I don't want to, like, I don't. You know, I could go out and, like, you know, go to the shittiest politician in the land and punch him in the stomach because they argue because. They anger me, but then I'll probably go to jail or something like that.
Correct.
Right. There's certain things you could do.
I'm just saying,
do,
I can do that if I want to.
You have free will to do that.
Free will to do what? There's stuff. But most of the times, we don't do certain things because we don't want the consequences.
Correct.
Gotcha. But we could technically
do that. So what are we saying to this person? Is that people do have free will, and so if they make you mad, just be mad.
Yeah. And try to punish them if you can.
Don't punish nobody.
I think it seems like the frustration is that they think that, like, the logical thing that they want to believe should mean that when something happens to them, they don't get angry. But they are getting angry.
Right.
And so how do they reconcile that? And I would say, one, maybe look at what you think you believe. But two, also, just because you feel a way about something doesn't mean that your belief system is wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you could say, like, my religion teaches me to be nice to someone who I don't like, and I don't want to do it, but I'm doing it. The fact that, like, you don't want to naturally do it doesn't mean that your religion saying you shouldn't be mad or you should behave. I feel like I've lost my way again in the middle of this sentence. But you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
The fact that it's hard doesn't mean that it's necessarily wrong, although I don't agree with it.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I understand what you're saying. And what I feel is that this person just... I appreciate you listening to the podcast and calling in, but you cannot bring these kinds of things to me. Not me. Andy, maybe, but not me. I can't take
it. Maybe save it for a week when you're not there and Andy has to do a podcast with that. Maybe Brian Safi or something like that.
Oh, God.
I'm saying you're wrong about your beliefs about free will. I'm just saying outright. I'm sorry. I don't say this very often on the show. That people
you never do. But this one really gets you. The philosophy saying that's not a, wow.
That's
an
incorrect
around.
Philosophical belief. It's like I had to write my undergrad thesis. I didn't have to. I chose this person, this guy, okay. McTaggart. He's a Scottish philosopher, I think, who wrote a paper in the early 1900s that time doesn't exist. And I'm like, you're wrong. It does exist. You can't write a logical argument. My professor, who was my mentor, was like, you can't say this stuff.
But why not?
Because I did spend the first half of the paper, not the first half, the first five pages or so being like, why would this guy write this? What's wrong with him?
that he would think
time doesn't exist. It does. This is the thing that, like, when people say this shit, this is what bums me out. It bums me out is that they'll say it because it's like a pedantic little argument that they can have at a cocktail party or something like that.
Right.
But if you were like, time doesn't exist, and it's like, okay, then where are all the people who existed before us? Like, when you push comes to shove, or if they're like, well, space doesn't exist. It's like, okay, then drive your fucking car into this gorge if it doesn't exist. And they're
what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah. Hold on, buddy. I'm not going to do that. It's like, well, it doesn't exist. Then just fucking do it. Right? Mm-hmm. Here's a knife. Stab it into your little throat, buddy. Stab in your little throat, buddy. If objects
nothing
don't
matters,
if it doesn't matter,
okay. If there's no time, stab yourself in the throat.
That's
prove
not
to
what we're saying to
no
you,
time.
Caller.
No,
caller,
caller,
don't stab yourself
do not,
in the throat.
Caller, but
don't do
the people that.
That
anger you. No, but I'm saying this. I think you will. If you give up that belief, you will be more emotionally healthy. Mm-hmm. If you buy into the reality of the world you're in. You will be more emotionally healthy and you will be like, okay, my choices have consequences.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in free will, then choices don't have consequences. And then maybe you will be like, oh, I shouldn't be angry at this person, or like I should give them the benefit of the doubt, because maybe they were like this is the thing I think of when I get cut off in traffic here in Los Angeles, which happens every 30 seconds. half the time I'm angry, and then half the time maybe they just they have to go home because they have diarrhea or whatever. And so they're trying to get home very quickly.
Yeah, or something. I assume a woman is in labor. That's the one I go to. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, there's on the rush. Yeah. They're giving birth in the car. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you come up with a reason where you're like, let's just say they're going through something right now.
Right. Thank God I'm not going through something right now.
Exactly.
And I think when you have a more realistic relationship with the world, the emotions flow from that in a more realistic way.
Yes. That was very kind. That we got there. We got to a
very
nice place.
We got
Even though I said, don't you be coming to me with existential questions. That's not what I do here. I'm here to tell you who sucks and who doesn't. I'm not here to answer an existential question. John, thank you so much for coming on this journey with us.
Oh, thank you, guys. Oh, it was my delight and pleasure. My honor.
You were the greatest. You wrote a book that is hysterical. And the fact that you even wrote a book, I'm like, swoon. You're amazing. You guys, I mean, we answered two questions, but technically that first one was three questions. So in a way, it was a real packed app.
Efficient. We are East Coast efficient.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.